Coming up on Patriots This Week.
It's left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He's got it.
Touchdown.
Patriots.
Kenbrell Tompkins.
Brady's back. That's your quarterback.
Well, what a football game. I feel like that took about 5 years off my life.
Unicorns. Show ponies. Where's the beef?
It's all about the players. You know, they stepped up and made the play.
Boy, when you thought you'd seen it all, when it's total despair.
As great as a win this is, you know, we got to come to work tomorrow and we're on the clock against the Jets.
My God!
Now it's time for Patriots This Week.
Call it clutch, call it magical. I think I even had a few choice words for it. We won't get into that, but call it vintage TB12. Tom Brady brings the Patriots back on a magical night in Foxborough, and the night started for Boston sports fans and stretched all the way to Fenway Park with the Red Sox ending it. But let's start with these Patriots guys. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What up, Wiggy?
What up, Zol?
Been a heck of a week. Former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Minute and 13 seconds left, 70 yards to go, no timeouts. Where's this one ranked for you guys? Wiggy, let's start with you. And you were there for the snow game. For Vinatieri's last kick.
I mean, it's up there, but I think the magnitude of some of the games that, you know, Matt and myself have been in,
sure.
You
guys were in Super Bowls, obviously.
Yeah.
But for a guy that's kind of going through a lot, and I mean that you've got a lot of young receivers, guys dropping passes, it's a pretty big night.
Yeah, it definitely is a big night, and I think especially when they had a couple shots at it, and like they weren't able to succeed the first two shots, and then they get the ball back. Because in that situation, you really don't think you're going to get the ball back, and then boom, you get the ball back. You got one more chance. You go down the field. You hit some guys that you don't expect. Austin Colley comes in. You hit him on a couple passes, and then boom. Tompkins makes a great catch. I think when you're the Patriots and you're Brady in that offense, you got to be looking at like, wow, we're really able to pull this one off.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I don't feel like the storyline clutch and all that really fits here because they had the two chances. Both times they got sequences under 3 minutes. I think you think that's it. We were bagging on Tony Romo a couple weeks ago for giving up that same ball and a pick. And, of course, the parallel between those guys isn't fair, but imagine if Tony had got another shot. I mean, that's the same idea here. He took advantage of the fortune he had, and they made use of it. I thought the real clutch play came from the defense. They actually had three of the four series that happened in the fourth quarter were three and outs. That includes the Arrington interception. So I thought a lot of the clutch play that went on in other places allowed for the other people at the end to be fortunate.
How tough is it for him, do you think, just trying to project forward? All the young receivers, Wiggy, you brought up Austin Colley, and you were able to function 70 yards, no timeouts, with a bunch of new guys in essence.
Well, and
no tight ends.
I think that's part of it, and I think the fact that the protection was a little dicey still in that last sequence, and he was able to get in some tough throws there. I think we saw drops. We saw a lot of drops there in that fourth quarter, and that's not what you're going to need going forward. But to come back and make a nice throw after a drop happens, to come back and make a nice throw after you throw a pick into double coverage, that's the thing that I think takes some mettle, and they overcame something in this game.
You guys both played for Bill Belichick. Wiggy, one of Belichick's best coaching jobs. Talking about the whole year in general here, based on everything they've had to deal with on and off the field?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at the circumstances that they definitely have to deal with on the football field and obviously off the football field, you look at what Bill's been able to do. I think defensively they've done a tremendous job all year, and they've had some injuries. But I mean, when you're talking about the job that he's done, you start to factor in everything. And I think when you look at what Belichick has been able to do with this team, and they're in a position right now where they're 5-1, they've beaten some good teams, and you look at Bill and you say, you know what, you're doing a really good job with the team that basically you have now in the situations that you've been in.
I think it's important to give credit here also to a lot of these assistants, because there was a time last year where locally a lot of the media were beating up on guys like Josh Boyer and Matt Patricia and saying, no credentials, who are you? And if you really look at the development of the guys they've been working with and how much better they are today than they were before, that's really on the assistant coaches. Those are the guys that work with those guys on the ground level.
Were you shocked at Sean Payton and kind of conservative at the end?
Yeah,
throwing the ball on third down, making New England keep that timeout.
Well, I was really shocked when they got the ball back with maybe 2 and some change. And I know Sean's an aggressive coach, and you have a very good quarterback that's not really going to make those Tony Romo decisions. And you would think, okay, why give Brady another chance? Let's try to put it away. It's all about getting those first downs or trying to eat up as much clock as we possibly can. And I think I wonder, you know, what are some of the decisions that some of these coaches make? And I didn't expect that from Sean Payton.
If you look at the sequence of plays, the very first play, remember, they had guys go out. You had your middle linebacker just taken off the field. You got Chris Jones. You got Joe Villano. You know you have to milk time. You don't want to make them use their timeouts. They did go direct run, a relatively safe play on the first one. But the second play was a cool little play. It was a flip play from gun where it was actually, you know, you basically ring the schoolyard to one direction. You crack, you toss, and flip. That's a pretty creative play. And it stays on the ground and it eats time. I thought that was creativity. And the third play was the naked bootleg, which that ain't a safe play. That's a pretty risky play. Everything that keeps Chandler from being that next level guy is a situational awareness. And to me, that was a play of the game. He's the only guy on the field that can make that happen. And it's really meant to trick him. We've seen him be tricked by screen plays in the past. He made that play.
He's still young too. Nikovic also calling some of those plays, you know, being that veteran, recognizing fronts. But it's a physical game, two big injuries. Obviously, you saw Aqib Talib go down. He basically negated Jimmy Graham. And you know how good that tight end is. But we don't know how long Talib's going to be out. Looks like a hip issue. More importantly, Gerard Mayo, team captain, a guy that basically, you know, you go nickel, they leave him on the field. They take Hightower, they take Spikes off. How concerned are you with the pec injury with Mayo and moving forward and how do they replace these guys?
Well, I mean, there's always concern there. And, you know, Matt and I were doing something. He made up a good point that Mayo is your signal caller on defense. And I think that holds a lot of weight. But to me, I feel like Talib is probably your playmaker on that defense. And he becomes the more important piece, in my opinion, especially when you look at what he was able to do against Jimmy Graham, who, you know, arguably is probably one of the best tight ends between him and Gronkowski.
He's not a tight end.
or he's a very good wide receiver. And I think, you know, you look at what Talib was able to do. I think you look at what Talib brings to that secondary. You lose a good player in Mayo. But I think they might be able to put somebody in there to kind of replace.
I mean, Dane Fletcher's been around the team for a while. And I think he does wear the green dot, meaning he's going to get some of the calls. But that's why you draft a guy like Jamie Collins, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jamie will come in. I think in the linebacker situation, we're looking at the Will linebacker, and that's probably Jamie as a fill-in. They've been playing a lot of 3-4-2, so that
Will's weak side.
Yeah. Weak side, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people.
Weak side
linebacker. What's the Will?
Yeah. Exactly. And then when you move to 3-4, it's really two inside linebackers. So you can go Spikes, and then that's probably Dane. It's going to be tough to fill him. It's the plays you don't see happen where Mayo's most important. It's alerting a call, all those kind of things. Beyond just making the play call, it's different than that. I disagree, obviously, a little bit on the Talib thing. And for this reason, the team shut Graham. He did a great job in the first half on him, and by and large was the guy they used. But they shut him down for the second half as well. So, I mean, he continued to not get catches. And another big guy that we don't mention is Marquise Colston, one of the top wide receivers, most productive guys in the NFL in the last 4 years. One catch. And that's Denner, that's Arrington. Those guys shut him down, too. So to make the story just about Talib and the job he did.
Well, I don't think we're making
it. It's only one half.
I don't think we're making it about Talib. But
I'm just saying, I think they proved they can come down with a half of football.
Yeah, I understand. They've gotten better. But I just think when you look at Mayo and Grant, like you said, I think the biggest issue there is if you do move Jamie Collins to the Will, who ultimately becomes that signal caller. That's why I think Fletcher becomes the piece you have to put out there.
Yeah.
Because you don't. Spikes is really not your signal caller, and neither is Hightower.
Seems to me, Stephen Ridley, when he's healthy, he can be the bell cow in this offense.
I mean, I love the way the kid runs. I think he runs hard. I think he's a north-south runner. He's not afraid to run through people. I mean, clearly, he's had some issues about holding on to
anger
the football.
And vengeance he runs with. That, you know, ball security.
And you know what? He's not a bad little receiver out of the backfield.
He's thrown,
when you use him for screens. Yeah. And he's one of those guys that, you know, they're running backs that you as a former tight end, when you're blocking, you're like, all right, there's a hole, just hit it. He's one of those guys that doesn't dance. He hits the hole, and he actually makes you look better as a blocker because he's always thinking, let me get through that contact zone, let me get downhill. And I actually think he does a good job. Obviously, it's about ball security with him.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. Houston, you've got a problem. That and some other stuff around the league when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Stephen Ridley. After being sidelined against Cincinnati, the third-year pro proved how important he is to the Patriots' offense.
The 5'11", 220-pound back rushed 20 times for 96 yards. And the LSU product scored his first two touchdowns of the year. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. And the Houston Texans, seems like everybody has them as the sexy pick to win the AFC again. Well, guys, they're 2-4. Not only is the record bad right now, but the quarterbacking position. We saw Matt Schaub here twice last year. Now, all of a sudden, not off to a really good start. Throws a ton of pick sixes. He goes down, and the crowd at Houston cheers the fact that Matt Schaub is injured. Your two careers, have you ever seen that in any stadium?
You never want to see a player get hurt. And if you're a fan, you really don't want to boo. You don't want to boo a guy's injury.
Unless you cheer.
Standing on the fact that he's down. But, you know, you look at their team, man, they're struggling bad.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Tampa. To be honest, this team is built where they don't have a viable third and fourth option, so they don't go deep into the reads. You have just Vincent Jackson, which is one great receiver like Andre Johnson. You got one great back just like Doug Martin, and you got Arian Foster. And when you can take away a running game, and you can take away one receiver, how reliable are they at the other spots? Oh, Daniel's okay, but he's a guy that's often hurt, and I think that hurts the quarterback position. I think you can show that, no, Schaub has definitely could have been playing better, but then you bring in T.J. Yates, and it's a pick six.
But haven't we seen a trend with quarterbacks like Schaub, Kevin Cobb, Matt Flynn, all these backups that people expect them to do well, pay them big money, and then 2-3 years in, it's just like,
I think Schaub played well when he was back
in Atlanta, and he was the big guy coming out, and he's put up some good numbers.
But Flynn played well at Green Bay.
Flynn played well at Green Bay, and then Cobb
played well for Philly.
Yep.
You look at those trends.
We got to talk about the tight ends. Yeah. Half of the top 10 in touchdown catches, they're all tight ends. Why are tight ends becoming such a big part of offenses?
Well, if you can find one that's as comparably speedy, I guess, as an inside wide receiver, yet he's bigger, I mean, science would just tell you that's a guy you want to get the ball, right?
Gates and Gonzalez were like always the
basketball player.
The guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's here we got Jimmy Graham, Gronkowski, we haven't even seen him.
Well, and as soon as you can, you know. Finley. When lightning strikes, when you can find two of them with the Hernandez-Gronk thing, I think that becomes a trend. But I think the idea of finding a guy like that, the Gates thing's not new. Dallas Clark thing's not new. You know, the body type, Wiggy. If you can find a guy that's both big enough and fast enough, has good enough hands, nothing better on the field.
And you see it in the college ranks that a lot of these tight ends are basically receivers. It's different when you played where it was a road grader and a pass catcher. And
you're right, though. I mean, we would bang that football on Ben Coates right on the 8 and the 7, and Ben would catch it off the pads. But he had such a big body, and he had good hands for a big guy.
If you look at Graham last week, he came out a lot because when they had to run the ball, they didn't want him out there. So I think provided you can find a guy like Gronk, that's a real tight end.
Yeah.
Some of the other positions, it's this new thing, the big wide receiver.
All right, guys, good stuff. Last week, it was defensive coordinator Rob Ryan. This week, it's his twin brother, Big Rex. It's not Big Rex anymore. It's kind of half-size Rex. Talk about the Jets when Patriots This Week continues. Not that you would ever wish injury upon a player for the betterment of the team or for the betterment of the other player, but Mark Sanchez goes down. Not that that's a good thing for the Jets, but their young quarterback, Geno Smith, is now their starter. And let's go to the tape and see what Geno Smith does. Right here, I want to stop the tape. You got four across the board right here. It's critical. Ninkovich, Jones, whether it's Volano, Chris Jones. Go ahead and roll that tape. Maintain all of your lanes because watch Smith. He feels pressure. He's looking to go one way, and that's outside. That means he's going to make some plays with his legs. And also, as we advance it here, I want you to stop it right here. Go ahead and stop. Thank you very much. Right here, you see this safety. This is an easy read for a young quarterback. See that safety settle right there. You got Santonio Holmes. Go ahead and roll the tape on the outside. That's an easy read for Geno Smith. No way that safety is going to get all the way over to the right side. Dynamic player like Santonio Holmes, he can make the catch, he can score quickly. And then let's go back to the days of West Virginia. Freeze the tape right here. What you're going to get right here, a little vertical, and this is what Geno Smith made all of his money on at the University of West Virginia, stepping up, hitting the big in-cut. So he's got the big arm, he's got the legs to make some plays. Make sure you know where number 7 is on the field at all times. Don't break containment. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And when the Patriots arrive at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, they're going to find a Jet team that sits there in 3-3, 500 team guys. And I think it's a different team than they saw in Week 2, obviously, because they're a little bit more experienced. But it's Geno Smith's team. Smith has 2 fourth-quarter comebacks in 6 games. What do you make of him, Wiggy? How problematic can he be for this defense that now all of a sudden Mayo's not there? Mm-hmm. Tlaib may not be there. We don't know. You know, you could be missing other guys.
I think he could be a big problem. The one thing about Geno Smith is he can't turn the ball over. I think that's the biggest thing for any quarterback, but especially a young quarterback. You look at his ability to throw the football. He has a very good arm. And you know what? People, I think, underrate his athletic ability. He can get out of the pocket and make some plays every now and then with his legs. So I think if you give him that confidence early, he could be a quarterback that can ultimately hurt you at the end of the game.
It's an important week to look at game planning. We talked about that initially. The sack numbers are irrelevant this week. It's pocket integrity like the Zoestrator showed us.
Yeah.
I think this is a really important week, though, to locate who they're going to try to push the ball to. I mean, they're having problems down there. I mean, Santonio Holmes was probably going to be out with a hamstring injury. You have Jeremy Curley, who has had big weeks in past years against the Patriots. So is he their guy, or is it Stephen Hill, who's been like this all year? Sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down. Do they have a running game? They got a lot of question marks.
We got to look at this defense, too, for the Jets. This is a group that will get after you a little bit. And this is a big game for Rex and company. It's New England. They've always circled this game, had this game targeted. What can they do in the middle of the field to really muddy up the things for Brady?
I think they just have so many good people in the box. I mean, the seven is great. The Sheldon Richardson kid has really sort of stepped to the forefront. He's athletic. He drops occasionally on the inside. Muhammad Wilkerson has turned into one of the really great D tackles in the league. They've got great linebacker play. And I think the new thing that we didn't see last time is Quentin Coples is there now, and he wasn't there before. This is like a top-round pick guy, super athletic, JPP-type body. You didn't even have him last week, and you saw how much trouble they gave him. So I think they've really invested on that side of the ball. Scheme helps them, of course, but I think they really have good players.
If you're Rex, you take Cromartie, you put him on one guy to negate. Who do you put him on?
I think when you look at how this Patriots offense, I think you put him on Dobson. I mean, who else do you really?
I agree with you.
You know, who else do you put him on? I mean,
especially with the size matchup.
You look at Edelman. It seemed like his snaps were down a little bit last week. Tompkins, he makes a couple big plays here and there, but I think if you start to see where this Patriots offense is going and who's kind of becoming Brady's, I don't want to say go-to guy, but who's the guy he's throwing the football to most of the time, it's becoming Dobson.
But I would probably play coverage. I would play it balanced. I don't think there's any reason to. And remember, we're potentially losing Danny Amendola here as well. So that would spike Edelman's reps most likely, and maybe he does become the go-to guy. I don't know. But I think the big thing is you take away the running game.
All right, well, let's keep it there, because when we come back, we're going to give you our picks and also our game changer when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with your Week 7 Fantasy Lowdown. With a pair of key injuries at wide receiver, Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers will be looking early and often at Jordy Nelson, my must-start this Sunday at home against Cleveland. Nelson will improve on his 4 touchdowns and should top 100 yards. Who belongs on the bench? Arian Foster at Kansas City, a bad matchup for the Texans offense. Don't laugh at this week's sleeper, Eli Manning. Yeah, he'll throw some picks, but also tons of yardage and 4 TDs against the Vikings.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. It's time for predictions and also our game changer, that person or player that will have the biggest impact. Matt Chatham, start with you.
Well, my prediction is I'm going to go 28-21 Patriots. I think they'll have a little bit tougher keeping that number low with all the injuries that they have on the defensive side of the ball. But my game changer is going to be Devin McCourty. You've lost a lot of your core as far as leadership with Vince and now Mayo down. You need a guy that makes the calls. We don't want to see mental errors, and I think a lot of that's on Devin this week.
Well, yeah. Well, it's simple for me. My pick is this. I'm going with the Patriots, 27-17. My game changer. We talked about it a minute ago. It's the offensive line. It starts up front.
Wow.
The Jets have a good defensive line. They can get after the quarterback. That's my game changer.
I like Wiggy taking an easy way. I'll just pick the person instead of the player.
It's easy.
That went on a limb 2 weeks ago. Pick Gronkowski. All right. Score for me, 28-17 Patriots. Patriots win by 11. Game changer, Julian Edelman, because I think they're going to get the running game going, which is going to open up the play action. It's going to be those little slant routes, those little dig routes, the quick outs, the screens. That's going to be Brady's go-to guy. That does it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.
Boy, when you thought you'd seen it all, my God.